you are a special bunch of people. You are beautiful. And I don't think you need a preacher at all. I was thinking, why am I here? I keep you can bring the word. There's no problem here. You can all bring the word. So, thank you. It's absolutely fantastic to be here. Let's quickly pray. Father, thank you for every testimony, every word, every encouragement, every voice that just confirms that Jesus is alive. Thank you for your goodness, Father. Father, will you speak to us through your word this evening in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this is the last Sunday in this venue. How long have you been here for? A year and a half. And we really believe that God has a message that goes hand in hand with the fact that as a church, I want to say we, but I think I should say you, are going into a new season. I want to speak about unquenchable, and it was very precious that some of the words here just now was really just confirming what I felt in my heart, that God wants to speak to us this evening. And I want to start with a scripture that is quite well known, because we use it when we say our wedding vows. Very powerful scripture from Ruth 1, verse 16 and 17. Now, for those of us who might not know the story, there was a lady, her name was Naomi, and she left her country, and she went to live with another people, with her husband, because there was a famine in her country, in Israel. And her husband died, and her two sons died, and she was very broken, very desperate. And she had two daughter-in-laws, and she said, I'm going back to my people, I'm going back to my country. And she said to these two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah, you must stay here. These are your people. I'm going back to my people. And this was, and there was a great weeping and wailing like we have many times when family have to move. And I think this was more radical because there was no WhatsApp or BBM or Skype. It was goodbye, see you in heaven one day. Maybe before that, don't know. And this was Ruth's response. She lost her husband, being obviously broken herself, being in quite a desperate place. She says to her mother-in-law, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. This is extremely radical. We must remember that Ruth was a young woman, and that the laws of Judaism, of the Jews, were extremely different from her people's laws, and the customs and the rules were extremely different. She would have to change her whole lifestyle to adapt to this new people group. And she would have to leave everything that was familiar and known to her, she would have to leave behind. And this woman is so committed. And I really believe, though we don't know this, I really believe that deep down, deep in her heart, she had a hunger for the living God and not the gods that her people were serving. Just like Rahab, the prostitute, who was hiding the spies when they went to spy out the promised land. And even though she was a prostitute, she had a deep hunger, and because of that deep hunger, she was extremely brave. She was literally putting her life on the line. She was an amazing, amazing prostitute. And she had a deep hunger to... She was. God doesn't think the way we do. To just know this living God. And interesting, she was Jesus's great, I don't know how many great grandmothers. And so was Ruth. Ruth was also one of Jesus's great grandmothers. And we see something very amazing, because there are these two daughter-in-laws, and the one says, don't go, and she's weeping and wailing because her mother-in-law that she loves is leaving, but she chooses to stay. She chooses to stay. Is that a sin? No. Is there condemnation for that? Absolutely not. Does she have to go? No. It is her choice. By all means, it is her choice, and she chooses to stay. But then there is Ruth. And Ruth chooses to do the most difficult, the most sacrificial, the hardest thing ever. Her mother-in-law was bitter, Naomi. She was bitter. She said, she went back to her country and the people said, whoa, look who's back. And they were so happy to see her. And she said, don't call me Naomi, just call me Mara. I am bitter. She was depressed. It was not like she was this chirpy lady traveling back to Israel. Ooh la la, she was not chirpy or happy or delightful. She was depressed. And Ruth, this is a desperate cry. She grabs onto her mother-in-law and she says to her, I have to do this thing. I have to come with you. There's a tenacity. There's a commitment. There's a desire that is out of the ordinary. Completely. To leave her comfort zone and to take a journey into a completely new life. And when we look at the life of Ruth, and if you've never read the story, please go back and read it. It is like fiction. It's amazing. It's beautiful. And she goes with her mother-in-law, and they are suffering. They don't have food. They don't have money. But she does everything that she's told to do. She's very humble, very submissive. And she ends up gleaning. Gleaning was when they were harvesting the barley fields. There was a Jewish law that the corners of the fields, they were not allowed to harvest. And everything that fell while they were harvesting, when they were putting it away, were to go to the poor and the hungry. So the poor and the hungry could get permission to come to somebody's field and they could pick up very hard physical labor. And Ruth would go and she would simply pick up the barley and they would have food to eat. And then this very wealthy man, I'm not going to repeat the whole story, we don't have time. But what happens is Ruth ends up becoming the wife of a very precious, precious man. She has a child and she becomes the great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus. She had an amazing adventure. She had an amazing life. She has an amazing story, so amazing that to this day we know her and we know her story. But it did not come easy. It did not come easy. And this evening I want to speak about that unquenchable desire to know God and to follow Him. And moving from one season into another season and understanding what it will take from us and understanding what kind of a heart condition we need to be able to follow God's plan for our lives. God has an adventure for every single one of us. Do you believe that? Man, my life is the biggest adventure I can even begin to tell you. I have 5 children. The oldest is almost 10 and the youngest is almost 3. And they challenge me every single day, every moment of every day. So I work half day at the church in Stellenbosch. And that is the very easy part of my day, but it's not easy. And then I go and I start picking up the children. And it's, you know, it's everything, all their little things. So many things happened in the past 14 years. Or actually since the day that I gave my life to God. And it's been so full. It's been so full. It's been so overwhelming. It's been so stretching. And God says, I want to extend your territory. That is like your life is a tent, and the tent pegs are here. And God says, I want to give you an adventure. But if you want an adventure, you are going to have to extend it. You can't stay here. You can't stay in this little tent. There's no adventure in the little tent. That's just a little tent and you're stuck there. So God takes out the tent pegs and he stretches the tent. And now the tent is bigger and wider and you are thinly spread. And it's like, oh, this is difficult and this is hard and this is not the way I thought it would be. And God says, this is my adventure. Just embrace it. You know, my sister decided that she wants, when we were children, she always said, one day I'm going to run the Comrades. One day I'm going to run the Comrades. One day I'm going to. We were like, yes, 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 one day you're going to run the Comrades. So finally at age 38, she started exercising for the Comrades. She hardly did any exercise before that. And she finally was ready for the Comrades. And she, what's a besering, Alistair? She got an ITB injury. I don't know what that is. Alistair knows, and some of you might know, in her knee. And she couldn't run the Comrades anymore. And she ended up with a very sore knee and very depressed about it. And she went to small group and they prayed and she was instantly healed. There was a miracle happening in the room. She was healed and suddenly she could run the Comrades. So I think in a week in advance, she decided to run and she was not really well prepared because she wasn't going to run anymore. And she ran the Comrades and she got her medal. And 2 hours after that, she was dehydrated in the ICU, almost dying. She almost died. And she lived to tell the tale. She was really, really, she was very, very, very near death experience. And she waited for 1 year and then she said, now I'm exercising for the next Comrades. And the whole family was up in arms. And I said to her, why do you need to do the Comrades? She said, because I want to live. I want to live. I want to just live this life and enjoy and be challenged. And I really understood it. I said to her, you do it. You will not die. You will not die. You run the Comrades. And she did very well. And the whole family now, they say, yes, yes, yes. But everybody was negative except me and a couple of others. And in the same way, there's a tenacity and there's a something, a hunger. And we are going to speak about something that cannot be quenched. That we need to have in our hearts to completely and absolutely go on this journey with God. I want to read something that David said, King David said in Psalm 42 verse 1. He said to the, he says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. We all know what it feels like to be really thirsty. If you are really thirsty, if you are really, really thirsty, you need water. You will do anything. You will do anything to have water. And David says, as the deer, whatever deer it might be, as the deer is desperate for water, that thirst, that, so God, so I am desperate for you. I will do anything. I will give anything. I am desperate for you. David had many mistakes. He had many flaws. He had many sins. But he was desperate for God. And he died, the word says, David died having served his generation well. He did, some translation says, David died having done everything that God has called him to do. He lived well. And there's a song that we used to sing. I love that song. I don't know why we don't sing it anymore. They say it's too old, I think. And the words of the song is, give me a pure and holy passion. Give me, do you know that song? Give me a pure and holy passion. Give me a magnificent obsession. Give me a glorious ambition for my life. To know and follow hard after you. And there is something that we need to understand. We need to understand that we are not waiting for God. God is waiting on us. You know, we tend to get uncomfortable when God wants us to do things that we are not comfortable with. But God says, if you want to move forward, everything that I call you to do, everything that God calls us to do, cannot be done without His Holy Spirit. Can I say that again? Everything that God wants us to do can only be done by the Holy Spirit. Everything else that we do will come to nothing. And the things that are done by the Holy Spirit are not small, are not insignificant, and are not easy. Planting this church was not easy. Where's Dad and Mika? Was it easy? Planting this church was not easy. Bringing this church where we are, I'm standing here and I look at all of you and I stand amazed. We were here when this church was very, very new. It was just a little baby church in the very beginning stages, about 3-4 years ago. It's such an adventure. And if we look at the life of Ruth. Now, if we look at Orpah, and we don't really know what happened to her, the Word of God does not tell us, but most probably she never got married again. Most probably she stayed where she was and she died a widow. If we look at the life of Ruth and the absolute blessing that came, the absolute blessing of finding an amazing husband, of living the life that was just blessed and having godly offspring. And this is the thing that God is saying. God is saying, are you willing to sacrifice? Ruth had to sacrifice everything. He says, are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to work hard? Are you willing to give up? Are you willing to go the second mile? God has a purpose and a journey for you and me as individuals and for Shofar Bloemfontein and for the bigger Shofar family. But this evening we are speaking about Shofar Bloemfontein. God has a purpose. He has a plan, but it will take some sacrifice. To move is not easy. We have moved many times. It is never easy. And God says, if you are willing to give me everything, I am willing and wanting to give you everything. Everything that you need, everything that you want, everything that you desire. And those are spiritual things. And it will fulfill you. And as we move, and as we close a season, and as we go into a next season, it is almost as if God is saying, who is with me? We are going to take this city by prayer and by working. Yeah, you never had to set up. Apparently, you could leave it here. Now, guess what? You are in a school hall. I've been through that many times in my life. You have to set up. You have to pack up every evening. There's a lot of work. There's a lot to do. Are you going to be there? Are you going to be involved? Are you going to do what God is calling you to do? Are you going to go on this adventure? And are you going to sacrifice? And are you going to work hard? And are you going to be there when the reward comes? I just look at this church this evening, and it is a reward. It is a reward. It is beautiful. It is precious. It didn't come easily. And God is saying, I want to take you, and this is always the truth. God always wants to take us higher. And it is like this level of heaven, and now there's a higher level of heaven. And it's like it becomes more glorious, and it is sweet, and it is good, but it does not come easy. And we need to understand that when God says, I want to stretch you, I want to extend your territory, it will not be comfortable, but it will be good. You know, sometimes we just need to stay on our knees just to cope. Have you experienced that? Just to survive. But that is the best place to be. That is the safest place to be. Ruth had such a servant heart. She was such a servant. I just want to speak about the way that God wants us to relate to Him. I have learned in my life that what I need is, in this journey with God that is so challenging so many times, I am so grateful to be able to experience just the beauty of God. And I want to read something to you that is quite, probably get you excited. Yes, let me read from Song of Songs 8, verse 5 to 7. Who is that coming up from the wilderness? You know the book Song of Solomon? When I was I went to the hostel when I was 9 years old, and we had lights out. I think at 8:30 we had to go to bed, and then our biggest thing that we would love to do was at 8:30 when it was lights out, we would take out the torches and we would read Song of Solomon. And then it says, your breasts are like towers. And we were like, whoo! Interesting, very interesting. So I want to read from Songs again, verse 5 to 7. Who is that coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Under the apple tree I awakened you. There your mother was in labor with you. There she who bore you was in labor. Set me as a seal upon your heart. This speaks about the love of two people for each other in a marriage covenant. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is fierce as the grave. Its flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised. This is a very powerful scripture. Somebody looks on the hill and there comes two lovers out of the wilderness. And the women, I imagine they were locking arms, walking in some or other affectionate way. And the woman is leaning on her beloved. And the third person, in this case, it's like Song of Solomon is like poetry. And the third person says, who is that coming from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Now, I'm just going to explain, just create a picture here of something that is reflective of our relationship with God. Now, what do you think, what were they doing in the wilderness? Okay? If you read the Song of Solomon, you will know what they did in the wilderness, okay? So, and I read quite a bit about this and all the different commentaries, and this is the conclusion that many commentaries have, and it's my conclusion as well. They were in the, you know, they were in the wilderness making love. And they are very much in love, and they come back from the wilderness, and this woman is completely and absolutely content. She is leaning on her beloved. She, and this is the picture that I see, and I'm being very serious now. This is the picture that I see of this woman. She comes from the wilderness with her beloved, and she's completely safe. She can be naked with him and not ashamed. She's completely satisfied when she is with him. The only thing that she wants from this life is to be with him. And when she is with him, he stirs her passion and he satisfies her passion. And she's with him And she comes back from the wilderness, and they were there alone, and they come back, and everybody can see that she is leaning on him, not because she has to, but because she wants to. And she's walking with him, and she's going to walk with him until the day that she dies, because she wants to be with him. It is such a safe place. It is such a confident place. She comes back from the wilderness, and she is refreshed, and she feels beautiful, and she feels fulfilled, because her heart can safely trust in this man. He is everything that she needs to feel secure. And then she speaks, and she speaks about the way that she feels about him. And listen to this. This is powerful stuff. She says, "Set me as a seal upon your heart." In other words, keep me there forever as a seal upon your arm. For love is strong as death. She says, my love for you is stronger than the power of the grave. Jealousy is fierce as the grave. If anybody should ever come between us, my jealousy would be as strong as death. Just like my love, my jealousy will be as strong as death. Then she says, its flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. It speaks about a very radical kind of love. Then it says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. It speaks about a love that cannot be quenched. This is the relationship between us and God. This is what it is. This is a picture of our relationship with God. And God says, I am your husband. You lean on me. I will satisfy your every passion. You know, we are all born, and now I'm not speaking about sexual passion. We are all born with a passion. It's from the Holy Spirit. Our spirit man is alive and well when we are still being formed in our mother's womb. And God says, I want to draw it out of you. And I want to use it for the sake of the kingdom. I can see you ever made this, we are moving clips that we saw just now, really as a gift. There's a passion there. There's a little passion there. It can really be stirred. It can really become something great. It can really bring this church very far. There's a violin here that can really stir the presence of the Holy Spirit. There are gifts in the house. There are passions. And what are these passions? God gives it to us. We don't create it. We don't create it. This is the beauty of it. It is just there. All we need to do is discover it. Where do we discover it? Where do we discover it? In the arms of our beloved. Where are we being stirred? In the arms of our beloved. Not with our husbands, not with our wives, not with our children, not with our friends. In the arms of our beloved, those deep passions, those deep desires, those things that he wants to draw out. And it is not for you. It is for the people. It is for the lost. It is for the broken. It is for your brothers and sisters in church. It is for them. It is for their sake that you need to spend time in the arms of your beloved, so that it can be drawn out of you, so that you can bring your gift to church. And I promise you, if it is your passion, you will be excited about it. I promise you. If it is not your passion, you will not be excited about it. You don't have to do it. unless there are not enough hands, and there is a season for it. There is a season to serve. There is a season to pack chairs. There is a season to serve. I've been doing it for many, many years. Now I get to preach. I'm so grateful. I had to serve anonymously for many, many, many years. There is a passion that God wants to draw out of us. It can only be discovered in our intimacy with Him. It can only be discovered when we lean on Him. And this is God's desire. You know, I always think about the scripture. It really scares the living daylights out of me. Jesus says, there will be people and they will stand before my Father on Judgment Day. And they will say, Lord, Lord, did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do miracles in your name? And God will say, get away from me. I do not know you. Why? Because of their hearts. Because of their hearts. Anybody can drive out a demon. Anybody who understands the authority in Christ. Anybody can pray for a miracle. Who of us are giving our hearts? Ruth gave her whole heart. Ruth gave her whole being. She gave her whole being because of a deep hunger. She was moved by the Spirit of God, because before Ruth was born, God said, I want her to be the great, 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 great granny of my son. So I will move her, but she chose. And God says, I have a purpose for you, and I want to move you, but you need to choose. You need to make that decision. And with me, you are safe. In my arms, you are satisfied, and you are fulfilled, and you feel beautiful, and you can be naked and not ashamed. You can have many things in your past that you do not wish to repeat in church. It's with God, nothing is hidden. He says it is fine. He says it is fine. You know, sometimes I tell people, especially women, just go and stand naked in front of the mirror and understand that God thinks you are beautiful. God thinks you are beautiful. Now, if you take your life as a comparison, it is beautiful. It is beautiful. David's life was beautiful. He committed adultery. He had too much blood on his hands to build a temple. He took another man's wife. Oh, I said that. He did many things. But it was beautiful. It was a life of failure and success, and failure and success, and many tears and much joy. It was a full life. He chose to live it. He chose to live it. He understood the arms of his beloved. He would always run back into those arms. Go and read the Psalms. You can never disagree with me. He says over and over in the book of Psalms, I am in the darkness. I am going to die. I am depressed. But you are my Savior. You are my God. You will rescue me. I love you. I will give myself to you. I will serve you. You can do anything. He kept on running back to the arms of his beloved. And there he became the man that God has called him to be. Regardless of his mistakes, regardless of his sins. He was not better than any one of us that is sitting here. We can all become exactly what God has called us to become. I want to read another scripture from John 13, verse 23. This was the disciple called John, and he wrote this. And it says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. He was writing the Gospel of John himself. And I did all the research, and I made sure about this. And John was referring to himself. And he says, I was lying on the bosom of Jesus. I was leaning against Jesus. They were around the table, Jesus and his disciples. And I read about this. They used to not have chairs like we do. They used to eat on the floor. And they would like not sit upright. They would sort of lie down on their sides to eat. They really knew how to relax. We should really learn from the Bible. Next time when I invite people over, we are going to lie down and eat. They were not like we are in these days. They were not always hurrying to the next thing. They just had a good time. And they were just sitting around the table, sort of lying around the table. And I often, they would be sort of in each other's space. And because of the way that they were lying, this one's head would be next to this one's chest, the person next to him. And John was obviously next to Jesus. And apparently they used to sort of sit at the same places every time. And John used to sit next to Jesus, the beloved disciple. And John was next to Jesus. And he was, now this is what we are speculating because we are not sure. He was either really just cuddling up to Jesus, or he was just sort of having a conversation with Jesus, being next to him and leaning back. But either way, he had very intimate physical contact with Jesus. And when we look at the life of John, John was called the beloved disciple, the disciple that Jesus loved. And I really believe it is because John understands this intimacy thing. And then we look at the cross. There was one disciple who did not run away. Who was it? John. There was one disciple who did not run away and feared for his life. He stayed there. He was standing there at the cross. And then Jesus, and this is so precious, Jesus is on the cross in the severest kind of pain that can be endured. And Jesus is looking at his mother. He's just a son with a mother, like many of us. And Jesus knows that somebody must look after his mother because he will not be there to do it anymore. And who does he choose to look after his mother? John. Now let me ask you, who are you going to choose to look after your mother? Your best friend? Most probably. John was also Jesus' nephew. But it was almost like he was Jesus' best friend. And then we see, after the cross, and when the great persecution comes, who is the one who gets to go to the island of Patmos and get the whole revelation of the end times? John. Who is the one that God, that Jesus is trusting with that? We see once again that it is John. And what God is saying to us, God says to us, come into my arms. Come lean against me. Come put your head here. Lean against me. Come into this place like I spoke this morning. Come to the garden alone. And come and speak to me. Come and worship me. And I will reveal to you the secrets of my heart. And you will have such an unquenchable desire. God says, I am jealous of you. The love that God has for us is like that fire that woman in Song of Solomon is speaking about. That fire that is stronger than the power of death. And Jesus went through death and he overcame. There is a love that we cannot even comprehend that God has for us. And when we enter into it by his Spirit, and we really just need to ask God, God, I want that. There is a hunger and a thirst that cannot be explained. I want to read a last scripture from Psalm 63, verse 8. Once again, David, he says, my soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. When we speak about a right hand that upholds, it is like two lovers that are lying in each other's arms, and the right hand of the husband is upholding the wife. It is that safe place. This is where God wants us to be. Can we stand quickly? I just want to ask something this evening. Just that God is saying to us this evening, do you want to be like Ruth? Do you want to say yes to this journey that I want to take you on? Are you going to leave behind your pain, your sorrow, your unforgiveness, your bitterness, like Naomi, who was so bitter because of all her pain, but God completely took her into a complete new season? And I want to ask this evening, Are you ready to say yes to that? Are you ready to say, God, I want to be like Ruth. I don't know how. I don't know if I have what it takes. I don't know if I'm strong enough. I don't know if I have enough faith. All of those things are insignificant. All we need to do is to say yes. All we need to do is to say yes. And every single day, God is leading us by His Holy Spirit. Every single day. So I want to ask, if you are that person this evening that says, yes, God, I want to become like Ruth. I want to leave behind the things that are holding me back. Just as we are leaving this venue, Alistair said, can we pray this evening that we leave behind in this... Do you know that this venue is going to be... gaan gesloop word? If you are wanting this evening to leave all those things that are keeping you from extending your territory, that are keeping you in that little tent, and God says, I want to take you so much higher, I want to take you so much further. If you are saying this evening, God, I say yes to that. I don't know how, but I say yes to that. I want to be like Ruth. I want you to take me as far as you want to take me. I want to be in your arms, and I want you to draw out of me that passion and that satisfaction that I will get from passionately following you with my uniqueness that you have placed in me. If that is you, won't you raise your hand? I'm just going to pray over us. If that is you, don't raise your hand if you are not sure. There's no, it's free. Yeah? This is a place where we are just free. Just raise your hand. Okay, you can lower your hands. I'm just going to pray over you. Father God, you saw every hand. Father, you saw every hand. Father, you know every person that is here, every precious brother and sister. Father, you know their hearts, you know their circumstances, you know their past, you know their present, you know their future. Father, thank you that you have chosen them for a time such as this. Father, thank you that you want to take them on the adventure of their lives. And Father, thank you that they are willing to give up whatever they have to give up to be able to walk with you. And Father, thank you that the reward will be so much greater than the sacrifice. Father, we just look at Ruth and the sacrifice that she made and the reward that was bigger than she would probably ever even imagine. Father, thank you that your word, and I feel this is the word for us this evening, for those who raise their hands. God says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what He has prepared for us. But by His Spirit, He is going to reveal it to us. Father, I prophesy over us and over this church that by your Spirit, you are going to reveal to us the great and mighty exploits that you are going to take us on. And Father, thank you, thank you, thank you that you are going to give us everything that we need. Father, thank you for courage. Father, thank you that Ruth was standing there, even scared as she was, even unsure of anything, not having any surety of anything. She made the decision that put her on the course of her life, that brought her to a redemptive destiny, that brought her in the center of your will. Father, thank you that you love us enough, and that you have no favorites, and that you love us enough to reveal to us and to put each and every one of us in the center of your will. For our lives, for this church, for this city, for this country, for this continent, for this world. Father, we worship you for your faithfulness. Father, I want to pray over our fears. Father, we come to you this evening. You say in your word that we should not fear. And when we are anxious, we should just bring it to you. Father, we bring our fears. And I want to ask you right now, just give that fear to God. The fear of not finding a husband. The fear of not finding a wife. The fear of not making it in marriage. The fear of sickness. The fear of death. The fear of financial problems, the fear of failure, failing in your job, failing in your studies, failing in your relationships, the fear of people, the fear of speaking, the fear of doing. Bring those fears to God right now. God wants to deliver us because He wants to use us right now. Father, we bring you our fears. We lift it up to you as our sacrifice. As our sacrifice. Take it and turn it into worship. In the name of Jesus.